What's in your hand? You've probably seen the stupid credit card commercial. What's in your wallet? Well, what's in your hand? The staff of God. You know, when, all right, I got a staff. I can really mop up with that staff. Or paint. When Moses first saw the burning bush, you know, and that intrigued him, I guess, because it kept burning and burning, but not burning up. He went over in wonder, and the Lord spoke to him out of the midst of the burning bush. And God told Moses to go in his name and rescue the people, and Moses wasn't so sure about that. He said, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? God was prepared for that answer, that complaint. So the Lord says, Exodus 4:2, what is in your hand? All right, what is in your hand? And Moses replied, a staff, a stick. By the way, I think a staff, of course, the one I had at home is about this long. And I think canes, you see people with canes, they go along like this. And I think they stoop people over. And you, if you've got, you know, an 8-foot staff or whatever, it just might help you stay a little more upright for a while. I like staffs better. Okay, staff. Staff was good for walking, and depending on the size, you know, it could be good for beating off enemies or keeping people away. And if it has a little crook in the end, you can reach up there and get apples down, or you can pull that stupid lamb out of the briars it's in, maybe, if you're lucky. Staff's pretty good. But Moses' staff wouldn't have impressed anybody. That wouldn't have told anybody that Moses was there with God's authority. So God says, throw it down on the ground. Moses threw it down on the ground and it became a snake. Now that really became a snake. Coiled up there and stuff. Anybody nearby would probably move back. I know I would move back. And then it says Moses ran away. And then the scariest part of all comes, and the Lord said, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. You don't grab snakes by the tail. They might turn around and bite you. But he did. He grabbed it by the tail and it turned back into a stick. And as far as we don't know every conversation Moses ever had after that. But as far as the Bible records, he never called it his staff anymore. It was always the staff of God, because he could throw it down and it'd become a snake. You and I just might have things that God can use. Maybe he can even use them to convince others that he's real, that he has power. And have you noticed that God likes to use people to accomplish his will? So today we're on the road to Jerusalem, and the first slide is a big overview. I wish it was darker, but maybe you can see white spot, that's the Sea of Galilee, and the big heavy line is where they think he might have walked to get to Jerusalem this time. So wander over in Samaria, and then on down the Jordan Valley by the Jordan River, and then hit Jericho and go southwest, it looks like mostly west, long uphill trek. And the next slide has just from Jericho, And as you get close to Jerusalem, there's Bethphage to the north and Bethany to the south, the Mount of Olives on the way. And so that's where we start off today. On the road. This is where our story starts, of the triumphal entry in Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back shortly.'" So these are preparations going on for the triumphal entry. And this is a major shift, as I told the kids, in Jesus' ministry. Before this, Jesus worked hard, you know, don't tell anybody. And he was trying to avoid outright conflict. And today he's ready to be announced, proclaimed as king. And the people responded accordingly. They understood the symbolism of Jesus coming on a donkey that wasn't wasted on them. Now, you know, the father could have just sent some wild donkey to Jesus, like he sent the animals to Noah, two by two, to get on the ark. Or he could have had a donkey get caught in a thicket somewhere, like the one that ended up being a substitute for Isaac being offered. But instead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they chose to work with people like you and me. And God worked with an owner of a donkey who somehow had regard for Jesus and his works. Perhaps the man had followed Jesus some and was acquainted with Jesus' teaching. For some reason, when the disciples said the Lord needs his donkey and his colt and will send it back shortly, the owner agreed and let the animal be taken. That sounds easy, but let me help you think about that a little bit. Let's say you've wanted a car for a long time and you've finally saved up enough money to buy a car. It's going to be delivered to your house while you're at church, so when you get home, the car will be waiting for you to have your first drive. But when you get home, your car is waiting for you, but I show up. "Hi, I need your car." If you're like me, you're going, "No, borrow somebody else's car for your little errands. I want to be the first to drive my car." You might damage it, or you might not bring it back at all. It's a nice car. Well, the man with the donkeys, he agreed to let the donkeys be borrowed by men who claimed that they were with Jesus. Well, hopefully, the owner of the donkey had seen these guys with Jesus before. Otherwise, you know, could have been identity theft. And he could have lost his donkeys. That was a step of trust and a step of obedience for the owner of the animal. It also was a step of obedience for the two disciples to go after the colt, knowing that they're going to show up and probably get confronted and tell this story to the owners that the Lord needs your animals and we'll bring it back. Who knows how the owner would react? Perhaps, I'm a fearful one, you know. Perhaps he'd go, "Yeah, sure. Guards, these guys want to steal my donkey." Or perhaps they'd just laugh at him. "Sure, right." It was a step of obedience. And Also, a miraculous step, not just for the two disciples that went to get the animals, but for this little colt that had never been ridden before to carry a person, to go down the road, to go down the path, strewn with all this stuff, coats and palm branches and a bunch of people there singing. It was a miracle of the peace that passes understanding, to say the least. The little animal accepted this. So the disciples had to go. They also had to search and make an effort to find the animal. You know, sometimes people like you and me are not willing to make an effort for Jesus. Well, I bet none of you have been asked to find a colt for him, an effort for Jesus to look for life lessons in his word. We're commanded, we're encouraged to be in his word, but we often let life squeeze it out, even if we intend to be in his word. Our time of reading in his word gets squeezed out. Our time of studying his word gets squeezed out. You know, sometimes it's even difficult just to do the minimum of devotions with the Sunday school book. But how precious it is when we have some devotion and get that done. They also had to speak God's word. I think the average Christian, average one of us, would have trouble repeating what God says. First, because by and large, we don't know what God has to say. And second, because we don't want to be considered judgmental, narrow-minded people. But the disciples were willing to listen carefully to what Jesus said and to remember his words and then say them when, of course, they were confronted. I wonder why the verse wasn't said. Jesus didn't just say, when you are confronted, tell them the Lord has need of it. But, you know, so the disciples were willing to listen, to remember, to say what Jesus' words when it was the right time, and giving credit where credit was due. The owner had to give his permission, agree to loan his animals. We already covered that he said yes when they asked, but that was another point of obedience to Christ, that he did say yes. So I'll ask you, what's in your hand? What do you have that the Lord might want to use? Now, it could be things. It could be money. It likely involves your skills, your talents, your time, your greatest treasures. What do you have that the Lord wants to put to use, and are you willing? Let's get back to the story. Verse 4. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied to the doorway. The word there is at the crossroad, and instead of street, it says crossroad. So it was probably the only place there were two roads that crossed in the town there. They untied it, and some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus, they threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. It's interesting to me that what Mark has left out. He makes no mention of the colt's mother. Neither does Luke or John, but Matthew mentions it. In Matthew it says, he quotes Jesus as saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me." Mark also makes no mention about the triumphal entry fulfilling all these prophecies. If you want to read about the fulfilled prophecies, well, then look again at Matthew. the triumphal entry, or on John's account, to hear what prophecies were fulfilled, Matthew 21, John 12. That makes me think, you know, Mark isn't writing to a Jewish audience. It's kind of a clue. He's not giving things the Jews would be concerned with. The Greeks would have less concern over fulfilled prophecies for the Jews, but it would be very important to the Jews. Next comes the parade, the actual entry into Jerusalem. And the path was strewn with coats and big palm branches. Verse 8, many people spread their cloaks in the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Now, I've seen horses spook before. I haven't been around them much. And I've seen one horse get spooked, and they all run to the far end of the corral or whatever. But can you imagine all the opportunities for being spooked with this roadway strewn with garments and big leaves fluttering in the wind? Vicky's told me that it's a miracle that the little donkey peacefully walked down the road there. Of course, the first miracle was that this was never been ridden on. It's not been broken at all. And they just set Jesus on him, and the donkey's okay. Walks on down the road. No ifs, ands, or bucking. That was a miracle of God. Mark doesn't tell his readers anything about the Pharisees challenging Jesus to make his disciples shut up as they're going along there. And, you know, nor Jesus answered that if the crowd was quiet, the very stones would cry out. Hence my shirt today. The stones would cry out. No, if you want to read about that, you'd look to Luke. Luke said, "I tell you," Luke's quoting Jesus as saying, "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." It was kind of ordained that day, that hour, there'd be this entry. He'd be proclaimed king in one sense. It was Luke, not Mark, who records Jesus weeping over what was to come to Jerusalem. I think it goes, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you know, how I would have gathered you," and stuff like that. Luke 19. Matthew is where we would need to look if we wanted to find details of what Jesus did towards the end of the day. In Matthew, he says, "When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was astir and asked, 'Who is this?' And the crowds answered, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.' Jesus entered the temple courts. He drove out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. 'It is written,' he said to them, 'My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers.' The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." "Did you hear what these children are saying?" they asked. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them, and he went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. But that didn't seem to be important to Mark. All Mark has to say is that about the rest of the day after the triumphal entry. Mark says, "Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple court. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Mark didn't say anything about all this healing or more confrontation You know, perhaps they've already heard that Jesus is a great healer. He was getting on to what he wanted to say. Mark saw nothing more than that to wanted nothing more than verse 11 to include in his narrative of Jesus' ministry after getting into Jerusalem that day. What was important to Mark was that triumphal entry. Jesus commanding the disciples about the colt, the disciples' obedience, the colt's miraculous cooperation, the parade announcing Jesus as king, and checking things out in the temple for the next day. And that's what Mark cared about. The most important thing for us to consider from Mark's account is, what do we have? Our time, our money, our resources, our hearts, and how will we share these things with the Master? So we're going to pray and then close singing Yes, Lord, Yes, which is a good response song to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your awesome word, and we thank you for the differences in the way the gospel writers presented what they saw, what was important to them. We thank you for the stereoscopic picture we have of the scene because there's multiple writers, multiple witnesses. And Lord, obedience was demonstrated in this section and some miracles on your part. Lord, help us to be willing to share what we have with you, even if it's just our time and our thoughts, to give them to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hey, please stand and join me with Yes, Lord, Yes. The words will be up there, and also 466 in the hymnal if you want notes.